It's that late night wet wipe stuff, man.
Wet wipe.
Dads.
Late night.
Comedians.
Wet wipe.
Get me?
Three dads, and they're all quite funny. Only started this podcast to make some money. Spotify deals and comedy tours on the agenda. Let me introduce all members. KJ, yeah, he put this thing together. But might be the reason that it falls apart. Cancels from the hip, but he talks from the heart. Ride or die for the team, you know it's Kazee. Darren Griffiths, getting told off by the missus. Been a dad longer than the other two. An integral member of the crew. Where he's from, they like to say, oi, oi. Darren Griffiths, aka the Essex boy. The doctor, always thinking about a sponsor. Keeps the pod on track, loves prayer, that's a fact. Got a BBL just for the brothers that are black. It's Mike,
and this is Late Nights and Wet Wipes. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of them Late Nights and them Wet Wipes. You know who this is by now. You know who I be. I'm Michael Akadiri. And to the left, I'm accompanied by...
Yeah, you already know who it is. Kazeem Jamal. Yeah.
It's getting... The pressure is getting worse and worse. It's getting worse and worse. And to the left, to the left.
Ask your bill payers permission. Who's that? It's me. It's Darren G. How you doing, people?
How you doing, people? Big up, big up, big up, big up, big up. I think...
It's the week of my show.
This is, yeah. So, when this comes out...
It's the week of my show.
It's the day of the show, actually, isn't it?
Oh, shit, yeah.
You'll be doing the show. How's... Obviously, we can't forecast too much, but
look,
obviously...
Man, sold out. Really glad it's sold out, man. So it's mad. You're listening to this.
One thing I will say. Hopefully, people follow Darren. You've been going crazy with the promo, man. Yeah. You've let people know. Like there is no one that can say they don't know you're doing the show. You've been going crazy with the promo.
There literally is. Now I've gone to this. I went fully guerrilla tactics.
So yeah.
Anyone tagging me in anything, doesn't matter what it's about. It could be about your dead gran.
Yeah,
I'll be like, hey, do what you need to do. You need to cheer yourself up and get some tickets.
No segue there, you tag the connection.
If you tag me in anything,
yeah.
I went back through all of my happy birthday posts that people gave me, and I went, hey, for a present, and you bought a ticket to my show.
Is it going to be your Facebook account that's going to be there, like your Facebook friends essentially?
Yeah, and there's been that, but then when I've gigged in London, I've just been handing out.
You've been collecting.
Yeah, handing out the cards, be like, get ticket.
That's big,
and
stuff, man.
And yeah, it's just been doing.
But that's the game though.
Yeah.
I think people underestimate, we will get into parenting, but people underestimate, like, the marketing's almost as important as the actual show.
Yeah.
You know.
And for once, like, because I've done one show before when I did, yeah. I did Essex Boy in 2019. Mm. I didn't really know how the show would go before, so I was promoting the show while also trying to write the show.
Absolutely,
that was horrible. Whereas this is like, I know what the show is. I just need to obviously do it again just to refresh and get the cobwebs off. But I know the show.
Yeah.
I know the product I'm actually selling.
Yeah.
I'm not selling the product. And people go, oh, so. Is it any good? What is it about? Oh, I don't really know.
It's about Essex Boy, that's it. It's jokes.
Yeah, it's true. Just be some jokes. Whereas this one's like, nah, people came to see it in Edinburgh. They liked it. They really liked it. So I think you'll like it. You should come along.
It's interesting, but some comics, particularly when they put a show on sale, they may not necessarily know what they're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Especially if they do it like a year in advance. That, they'll just put their name,
yeah,
a photo of them looking quote unquote funny.
Yeah.
With a random title, and it's like they don't know. Yeah. You think like what
I've seen, I've heard so many combos of people being like, "Yeah, so my tour starts in 3 months or whatever. I really need to pull this hour out of my ass." And I'm like, "It's not. You haven't got it."
Yeah. So what are you touring?
Yeah. So some people are lackadaisical with it. You're like,
mm-hmm. No, but do you know what? As well, like from recent conversations as well, I'm not saying it to like dig them out. It's like they might be touring.
Mm.
Like, kind of similar to what you're saying, is like they're touring whilst writing a new show,
mm.
not really knowing what just this, and then having to do new, but then they're people are telling him, don't do any of the new show on your tour.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't
yeah.
even mix and like start to taper off of it. So the like to get it back to like that's why people like Louis CK and whatnot say take 2 years.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Then you can tour, work the hour, tour the new hour, take the special.
Yeah.
Work
the, so what are these people doing? They're touring what, a work in progress but being told not to do the new stuff?
No, they're touring show A that yeah. they wrote.
Yeah. Did in Edinburgh last year.
Did all that. They're touring show A and then say like they started in November
yeah.
or whatever, however long their tour is, whatever. And then in May.
Yeah.
So they go on tour again. Their show finishes February.
Yeah.
So they've got now March, April, or say let's say that June or July. Yeah. They've now got March, April, May to get this show ready.
For the new tour, yeah.
Yeah, but then but maybe it went on sale December, January. Yeah. So they've got to write this new hour whilst on tour.
Yeah.
They can't work any of the material out. Even the bits they know 90% work on tour.
Yeah.
So then they got to go to new material nights or club show lights on their weekends off and try and work this new thing and hope they have something.
Yeah.
Or even do spend what? The first couple of dates would, on that tour.
It would
going,
be like me. It would be like me saying I'm doing a new tour in May.
Yeah.
Yeah, essentially.
Because I've done like work in progress shows. I've done a half hour. Mm. I've got to do the hour work in progress show in Leicester.
Yeah.
Well, I would have done it. Well, I've done it now.
Well, that was great, man. Yeah, that was good. Good shit, man.
We're good stuff, man.
We're really well.
Good shit, buddy.
But yeah, but that is not a show I would be able to charge people big money for and be like, come and see this.
But yeah, because that's what folks be doing.
They do, man.
Especially if you're in the Edinburgh every year.
Yeah.
Because that's what the people do. Like, you know, some people do autumn tours, so just right off the back of Edinburgh, they'll tour it.
Yeah.
Some people go into spring, and then by the summer, they're in Edinburgh every new hour. I'm sorry.
I would
actually, if you can do that, yeah. salute to you, but me, I ain't got the facilities.
I would actually like, capacity. Obviously, I'm not there yet, but like in terms of hours and shows and tours and stuff like that, I would very much push the fact that I'm like, I'm not rushing the next one.
I ain't gonna lie.
It's that album number two, isn't it?
I've seen some of them shows where they make them every year. They look like they make them every year.
But look, I'm not surprised.
That's all I'm going to say.
I'm really not surprised. Brother, I started in 2018, yeah? This will be my sixth year this month, right? So that is 6 years. Bar no dad, no problem, right? Because I'm still doing some of them jokes, right? That would be 6 years of working on this.
Yeah.
Mm. And then after that, you want man to go hour. Insanity. But I took 6 years the first time.
Yeah. Insanity. That's why I mean to Sandy. That's why I purposely when people I was in Edinburgh 2022. People were like, are you coming up next year? I said for what? What would I have experienced?
Yeah,
that I could talk about diligently and well with well crafted jokes. What are you doing?
Yeah,
what's all this pressure you're trying to put me under? Move, man. Took my time.
Why did you laugh when I said I'm still doing them tricks?
You kind of smirked, like you wanted to take the piss out of yourself, but then you didn't, so I left it.
Oh, no.
You just smirked, you did that, and yeah. I was like, okay, what?
Well, I see doing...
Darren saw the day I decided to start doing those jokes again.
Yeah, because...
Were you in a hole?
No, I could have been.
Oh, so you just needed to pull
I out. Saw what was happening, and
where,
I went...
Where were we again?
We were at...
Pride. Proud.
We was at Pride as well.
And Pride, yeah.
We was at Pride as well. What's wrong with you?
No, I've never heard of a gig called Pride.
No, Proud.
Of course you wouldn't. You fucking homophobe.
Yeah, and
it wasn't a hostile crowd.
No, but it needed controlling.
Yeah.
Well, that's Shabba's old gig.
No, it was
a brunch gig.
Yeah, it was
a brunch
gig. Oh, okay, okay, good.
And... I could see what was happening, right? And I was like, and we'd just come out of a stage of lockdown.
Yeah.
And I'd been working on long form stories, and I was like, this crowd ain't stopping to listen.
Oh, okay, you needed to hit them.
So I literally looked at the crowd and went, no one here's seen my show. No one's seen it on YouTube. It has, at that point, it had 1,000 views. I was like, none of those 1,000 views. 999 of those views are me.
Checking who's watching this.
Yeah. Right. So no one here seen those jokes. Mm. So I just went in. I did the train joke. I did the terrorism joke. I did all of that.
Yeah, you hit bang, 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 bang.
And then I went, here's a story.
Well, that's smart. One
and then Darren came up to me and was like, I see you dipped into the bag of gold.
Because I was there as a punter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I, to be honest,
it's the right thing to do.
Definitely. Yeah, you made the right decision, and that's someone that's, you know, assessing the environment that you're going to perform in and then making the right call instead of sticking to your.
I would have bombed, yeah, man. They would have cared less.
And also doing stuff that's been put online. I've seen comics who have got much bigger following in terms of.
They don't care. The audience do not care.
Audience do not give a toss. We're the ones that care, because I'm like, oh my goodness, well, if I put this joke out, then will I be able to do on Live the Apollo if I ever get it? I do all these maths, and it's like, no, just put the joke
out. I've done shows.
Treat it like music. These are your songs. Sing your songs.
I've done shows where I haven't done jokes that they've seen me do before.
And they're like, why did you do
that? And they're like, why didn't you do that joke?
Yeah.
And I was like, because I have other jokes. Yeah. I
told my friends about the dog joke you did.
Yeah.
Like, I
do the joke.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it was too late now. I'm off stage.
Boom blast.
Yeah. Nice, man.
Boom blast. Do we actually have anything parenting related to talk about? There was a lot of comedy.
Wow. We've got
gibberish.
That.
I want to quickly big up the mums.
Oh yeah,
go ahead.
I want to big up the mums. Yeah, because obviously.
Well, mums in general. Mums of our kids.
Mums in general. Mum of my kids, my mum, the mum of my kids in specifically, mums in general, you guys' mums, and the mums of your kids,
respect.
But man, boy, like, yeah, they're, I couldn't do it. I think I've said this before. I couldn't be a mum.
Well, what have you seen that's like confirmed that for you?
They're just soldiers, bruv. They're just soldiers. Like, bro, let's just put it this way, yeah? I was away 3.5 days.
Yeah.
Right? Came back, spent about 3 hours with them, bounced, went and made some content and did my live show, came back late, everyone's asleep. Went to work. Came home, bounced. I'm here.
Mm.
And they're just rocking with it.
That's support, though. But that's sacrifice for your dream, though.
Yeah, isn't it? It is.
Because, like, and that's what a lot of, I guess, partners have to do. Is that if one person is out there hustling, typically one person has to take the fall and be supportive. And but then that's where, obviously, hopefully this is never your portion, but that's the problems that happen when someone becomes successful and they split, and then it's a divorce, and it's like, well, you weren't with me shooting the gym. It's like, I'm the one that laid the foundation, so you could shoot in the gym. So how are you going to come and tell me that I don't deserve that money?
Yeah.
You know, why am I now the gold digger, even though I made the foundation secure that you could go do what you wanted to do?
In a non-cheesy way, that is one of the drivers of wanting to actually make this shit work, though, this comedy stuff.
Yeah.
Just so I could just be like...
Yeah.
You could show them that there was an end goal.
I want to say to my mum, here you go.
Yeah.
I want to say to my kids and partner, go, here you go. And actually, I used to be very one-track minded and be like, I did it. And actually, it's more of a like, no, we did it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You want to share it? When you're
leaning on that island in the kitchen with the marble top.
Hey!
My mum's got an island.
She's got the island.
Hey,
it's not marble. I'll get you one, mum, hopefully. I honestly, hand on heart, like, I don't care about awards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I spent a lot of time competing and whatnot. If you get one, it's cool. But if I happen to get an award, I actually think about going up there, and it wouldn't be like some long ass speech. I just wanted to go from bottom to top or top to bottom, whatever, and just start reeling off names. And it would be like these are real people: Miss Wedgworth, Miss Delane, right? Like Jackie and all these people in my, and it would just be, and at the end it would just be, thank you, we did it. all these
people. Oh, okay. I thought they were the people that said you would never make it.
No.
You would never make it.
All these people from school, like teachers, like Miss Wedra, she was the head teacher. Like when I started at the nursery, went to the primary school. Mr. Lane, my first PE teacher. Mr. Wadsworth, my PE teacher at school. Mr. Smith, he was the reason I didn't get kicked out of primary school, as well as my mum. You know, all these different people.
You gotta make sure you thank your missus and your mum first, because
no,
too many times you see these award shows where the music just starts coming on.
I envisioned this as well.
Your mic's just cut.
And I would want to start my speech by going, "Look, I'm probably never gonna be back here again. Don't play the music. I've got a list. Let me get through it, and you'll never see me again. Please do not play this music. If you play this music, you're racist."
And that you get through. You go, yeah, to Mr. Finger, the band
of you. Guess what? Remember that episode, Suicide Bomber? Guess what? Everyone's gonna be physically fine, but the show is not going on.
And then
Twitter's
like, wow.
I walked up that
on stage and faked his PE teacher from year two, but they couldn't fake his woman.
Maybe I would do it like post winning the award on my social media.
Yeah. You got to do a note.
I call a press conference.
You got to do a little note.
I call a press conference.
Very good. There,
why only two people here?
I've always had that in my head. As soon as I go on stage, I'm like, all right, first and foremost, thank Naomi. Right, everyone else, you might get forgotten in this speech, but I got that one out the way.
I don't want the ag.
I'm going home to
that angry pillow talk.
There'll be a bit of banter in me that would go get to the end of the list and be like, I'm forgetting someone. Anyway, peace.
I'd get the name out quick.
I'd straight away thank my mum.
You got to thank
the people that have been
thank the missus,
supportive and allowing you to choose stuff, because that's the reason that they provide the platform that allows us to do these things that we want to do.
I just want to big up the mums. They're great. They smash it.
Do you
shout out all the mums?
Do you think your motivation has changed since having kids in terms of comedy? Because obviously we all started comedy before our kids came into the picture. But do you think there's been any change or hardening of your resolve or anything that's changed in terms of your goals since having children?
I'd say strategy, method, or whatever might have changed slightly.
From what to what?
So before, I was like, I'll pretty much do any gig just to be on stage. You're on stage, just getting better.
Just getting better.
So it doesn't matter. Whereas now, no names. It's like 60 quid to go here. Nothing to go here, but it's a decent room. It's like, nah, I can't really justify being out of the house this evening.
Yeah.
For that or nothing. I need to do this. And when I am away, it's like, right, let's actually make an effort to try to find another gig. So the other day I was did the work in progress in Central, and I thought, right, I'm in London, I've got to be able to find at least another gig. And I managed to find, so the work process, Top Secret, then went down to Vauxhall and then end up in Wilsdon doing Rudy.
So you went from Vauxhall all the way to North West?
Yeah, so Central to Vauxhall to Pagan. North West. Huh?
What?
So you did three gigs that evening?
And it's that kind of thing of, whereas before, I'd be like, I'll do my work in progress, Top Secret, then I'll see who's hanging about and I'll probably just have a drink and just whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know how much money I made in the bucket split, don't matter.
You're now efficient now.
He's just like, no, I'm out now. If I'm going to be out of the house, let's maximise being out. And then also like other projects as well. I always just like, I want to write something. Whereas now it's like, no, I need to get this writing project off the ground. I've got a team around me who want me to write something. I've got something to write. Let's just stop fucking about.
But then do you find your time is more squeezed because of like to write and stuff like that?
Yeah,
like
it is. But it's like a thing of those days just, I'm just want to chill. I want to play Football Manager. I'm like, no, I'm going to. I always ask the team at our agency, like, set me a deadline. I just don't just go, oh, because you know some people like to be creative, just be left like, no, 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 no. Tell me you want a X submission of this by this date, and I might go a week after, but
if you don't give me a date,
you're not seeing this shit until like.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, and because of that, it's like, right, and like even strategically with the show that's coming out today, that'll be recorded today. Yeah, it's we're writing something to have a almost like a pitch document ready for when that show's done. If any industry people come, which they're working on getting to come along,
yeah,
they see the show, go, we like that idea. It's like, well, if you like that idea, here's an idea of it in this sitcom format. And it's that kind of thing.
Being ready for the opportunity.
Yeah, it's that being more strategic since having the kids. It's like, I've got to be able to justify to Naomi why I'm doing this show and why I'm doing that. It wasn't just a vanity project of, it's like, I thought it was a good idea and I just wanted to do it and make people laugh. It's like, oh no, there's actually something attached to this where I'm trying to make some money, man.
Trying to make some strike. Because anything like that for you, or is it like, even when you put content out online, is it more purposeful because you're like, there's a method to this now?
No.
Oh, you just...
He's just like, nah.
No, like, when I was a kid, like, this is going to sound so like you said a bit earlier, Darren, this is going to sound like so cheesy. But from when I was a kid, I was like, I want to be great. I just didn't know what. I know it sounds cheesy, man. I know.
That is a very what's it.
I know, but I wanted to be... Like, I knew from... It's going to sound so cliche. I was like... But what my son has given me in, like, chasing a dream or whatever is the realisation that you don't have forever. And one day you're going to dead. And it's kind of like... Right, because from a kid I was always like, I wanna be the guy at something.
Yeah,
didn't know what, but I always knew that like I wanted to. And so at least my son has made me feel like before he's forced me to work hard, more with a purpose to leave a mark.
Yeah, legacy.
This is tell you what, when I went to a funeral, and I think I spoke about this before, and they spoke about their dad, and they said, you know, they say all these nice words and whatnot, but the son just went up and went, my dad's a legend.
Yeah. Mm.
He wasn't famous or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I would like to leave this world and, you know, for my son and my kids to be like, that was my dad.
He did that.
Yeah. And there was another instance when Jamie Foxx was on a red carpet with his daughter.
Mm.
And the daughter brought a couple of her friends with her. And Usher hits the red carpet and all her friends break out. They lose their mind. But Jamie Foxx's daughter doesn't. And the presenter goes, like, aren't you excited to see Usher? And she goes, no, my dad's Jamie Foxx.
Woo!
God damn!
Energy!
So I just want to put work together and stuff energy. Like that. That my son can be proud of.
So you want your son to shake in front of celebs?
Look, if you enjoy this, but I just want people to... There's only one instance in my life, in 30 years of living, that I could turn to people and go, you see that? That's my dad, you know. And he won a sports day race. That's it.
Wow. So apart from that,
I want my son to be able to be like, in just my dad is the person. This is what he did. My dad is the comedian, the creator, the artist, whatever.
Mm.
This is what he did.
Mm. If you could leave the marks you're alluding to, but it meant that you died penniless, would it be worth it? Sound like you're convincing yourself.
Yeah.
Darren, same question to you. If you would leave, I don't know if legacy is important to you as it is to Kazeem, but if you could leave a legacy, but it meant that you were just a penniless artist, would that be a happy trade-off? Or would you rather be somewhat wealthy but no artistic legacy? Not like stinking rich, but like you six figures living, but no one gives, you're just putting out watered down, just run of the mill art down. Yeah,
it's like, right. Look, I did the woman thing. Can I want both. Can I?
I believe.
Is there an option that I have leave a legacy through my art, but I don't make any money from my art, but I can make money elsewhere?
No, you go gun ho with your like you know what, I'm fully
going. I can't just carry on doing my job.
Does this affect our dependence?
Yeah, like
in this scenario, both of you at this point are full time with your art.
It's like they're just invited to memorial shows of. There's like, yeah, because he was a great comedian. Like, you've got great social comedian, capital,
but and, that's it. And they're just there, sold the rights on my left.
They're just there, just chatting away on on Good Morning Britain. Yeah, you know, my dad was a great guy, and they've got no money.
They're broke. There's nothing real to show.
Son, there's a couple scandals in my life. Sold the rights on them.
Are they making money themselves? Can they make money themselves? Or have I left them so broke? and my name is so big that it's like where they apply for things like, oh, you're Darren Griffiths.
Yeah, there's probably a bit of that. It's like the interview, it's just them
being asked about me, and then they don't get the job.
Tell us how he was like. Can I get a job? Oh, you don't need this job.
No, you're the daughter of X.
Yeah,
you're Darren Griffiths' daughter. You're Darren Griffiths' son.
So you both of you at this point have taken the leap. You've gone full time. And it's just artistically, you get all the everyone's saying you're successful, but you got the money to show for it, which is very plausible.
Look, I will always continue to go for it, but I will not let my. I would obviously always be dependable for my kids. Like, they can depend on me financially, whatever, emotionally, all that kind of stuff. I believe in it. Until I could be on my deathbed and go, and I might just go. Obviously, you can't. You're on your way out. But I would bring my pen and paper. What do you think of this joke?
Yeah, for the love of the game. Because
this might be the one. I'm always on that vibe of this might be the one. Everything I post, I'm like this might be the one that goes viral. Every time I go on stage, I'm like, this might be the night when everything changes. Every time. I romanticize everything. I believe.
Yeah.
But I also have that crazy gig. I'm realistic at the same time to go like, at the moment where I am, need to do X, Y, and Z to make sure these guys can eat, stay warm, all that kind of stuff. Have the toys they want. I'm realistic.
Yeah.
But I will always find a way to continue.
Mm.
I've even had in my head being like, right, like you were saying last episode, this episode, right, if stand-up's got to stop, If another pandemic came, or stand-up had to stop for some reason, for whatever happens, yeah, I can't do it for some reason for 3, 4, 5 years, then guess what? I'm going to try and be the biggest content creator on the internet. If I can't do that, then I'm going to try and write the best script and sell it. And then circle back that way and go, guess who's back on stage?
You're going to pivot.
Because I've got 100 racks in my pocket now, or whatever. You can sell a script for more than that, but whatever.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I'm always going to find a way.
You're just going to pivot. You're going
to... If I can't write a script, then when everyone's asleep, I'm taking a train to fucking Charing Cross and I'm doing free comedy in the street.
You're busking.
To anyone that will listen.
Busking.
Yeah, anything, bro.
Busking these jokes.
Anything. That's what I would say. So, in terms of dying penniless,
I'm just saying. You have success, but it's not amounting to anything. People are like, oh my god, have you seen that play in the West End? Because Jamal wrote it, but then you ain't got nothing to show for it.
But then, like I say, but then I'll be like, well, I probably wrote that while still working. You get me? I probably pitched that while still working because obviously, man can't die penniless. I've got people that depend on me. So, would I die penniless for? Top tier legacy, no. But I would try everything in my power to do everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'd be resourceful.
Yeah, I'd never let the young G's, my young G's, go without, man. Even if I got to sell my bottom.
But then, yes, that's wild, man.
Would you sell your ass?
Sacrifice. Would you sell your ass if it bought you 2 extra minutes? You can make that one's worth coach.
Never. Never. At least make it appetizing.
And you but, cried for that. You would say your bottom for it.
No, I wouldn't sell my bottom. That's wild. That's crazy. So my bottom. Darren, what do you sell bottom to what? Yeah, it's a mad question. So my son could eat or something like that. That's crazy. Hey, let starve, boy. Yeah, go. You got to go into a ketotic state. That's what you got to go into.
A what?
Ketotic state. So like your body starts breaking shit down to feed. Starvation state. It's medical.
That's not how it's pronounced.
Ketotic. Ketotic. K-E-T-O-T-O-I-C, I think. I probably spelled it wrong, but...
Is that where keto comes from?
Yeah. Ketosis, ketotic.
Ketotic ain't a word, bro. It's ketosis.
Yeah, ketosis is there. You in the education game.
I was in the strength and conditioning game before that, mate.
Jeez! Man-like!
Yeah, ketotic.
You could be like Hugo Monier.
That's what people used to call me when I signed with Harlequins.
That's very racist.
I went to a white school.
Even twice. It makes even more sense.
Alright. Oh, so we've got one video that we shared in the group. So I think we shared this with the...
Yeah, share this with the listeners. This is what I'll be doing. I post a lot of videos in our WhatsApp group. These guys never comment.
Never.
Yeah, you don't ever know who it's for. You're sometimes posting.
Yeah, you post videos. And you went, no. Hey, it's for me.
Yeah,
for me,
yeah. Guys. See, I caption those ones. Normally, yeah,
now you do because I went, huh?
And then now I post videos just for entertainment purposes, but they don't respond. They ignore all contact. Only speak when we meet here and we convene here to speak.
That's not true.
That is very true.
You found the Young Spray video.
Yeah,
you did. That video's gone now. See, we won't be able to share it.
See, you can't even share it. See, they should have listened at the time I sent it 4 weeks ago.
No, this is different. Oh, no, I found it. I've got it again. So, it's this video. I think it's, I'm not going to say where the guy's from, because if I get it wrong. No, I was right, Romanian. So, guys, it's in Romania.
Yeah.
And the way the video was captioned at first was that dad takes revenge on son's bully in the park. And he basically picks up this boy and body slams him to the floor so hard that he is knocked unconscious. And
KO.
And did they say that he broke his neck?
Yeah, they said his neck is broken.
I broke my neck.
So that was bad enough because the boy, his son's like 8 and the bully was like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
That was bad enough. Then it's found out that actually, it wasn't just his bully. It wasn't a bully. The boy was actually his son's. It was his nephew.
His son's bloodline.
And it's his stepson. And apparently, the dad then turned his aggression onto the 8-year-old boy, and started shoving him and verbally abusing him.
Woo!
And so, So, I guess my question is.
To the people then.
Yeah, I guess it's very easy to say, what would you do if that was your kid? But not that. What if you was just in the park with your kid and you witnessed this? So you've witnessed this guy, he's got his 13-year-old, his 8-year-old, yeah. They're bickering, and then you just see him march across the park, pick up the 13-year-old.
Chokeslam from hell.
Chokeslam from hell. Through the ground. Oh, for the record, guys, the 30-year-old's fine now, so we can laugh at any... Any injury?
What a disclaimer!
We can laugh at him because of what? Sorry,
he's fine.
Okay.
He didn't come to know.
Yeah. The only person who suffered was the guy. He went to prison, but
as he should. That is crazy. Being a park participant, just there enjoying the slides, and you in a corner eye, you see someone give the choke slam, put the hand over, and then
because did you watch the video?
Yes.
Crazy
that,
slam.
That boy went floppy.
Yeah, that boy, yeah. Complete consciousness gone. Body went to sleep.
Wet clothes on the floor.
And it's like, wow. Like, that is scary. Observing an adult do that to someone who's not of age, that is very, very scary.
Yeah.
And you must ask yourself, is this a madman?
That's the thing.
Have I just seen a madman? Because if you're thinking, he didn't have no problem doing this to a child. Yeah. So what is he capable of?
That's me.
That's what I would ask myself. What's this madman capable of?
Do you know what I'd do? I would mind my business. Swing. Yay, wee. Wee.
So you would, it would not influence anything you're doing that day. Right? Son,
you know you can use them legs now. You want to get out of here?
Yeah, that's what it might do. It might cut our time in the park short.
What you look at that?
I'm like, we've been here now.
For.
So he's like, "Well, I don't want to. I just want to go to the street." He said, "Shut up. In the buggy, we are leaving."
She ain't gonna go help the kid. You know, that's what I'm gonna do. Click. Oh shit! I forgot my son.
What about the kid?
Shit.
It's good. You look in the back.
Hello, be a seat. Oh,
shit.
Forgot the boy. Oh,
shit.
Still on the swings. I didn't take him out.
Dude, what's so sad as well? It's my son is so fucking chill. He literally would just be draped over the swing. Just not doing anything. Just like, yeah, sorry, mate.
My son loves saying, "What's that?"
Yeah
he loves it. And he points. So as this man picked up this ute and slumped him on the floor, my son probably, because he's, for some reason, my son got great comedic timing. Yeah. He probably, body hits the floor, goes limp. My son would be in the swing going, "What's that?" I'd be like, "That is a charge. That is an assault."
That's an attempted M. That's crazy. You can't throw a child on
concrete. And I was explaining this to my wife, because I know that Naomi wouldn't be able to just be a bystander. Right,
well,
wouldn't
I? Yeah, she's a primary school teacher.
Right? I think it may be his teacher, but I think as well, and I've said this to her, is women don't, men are violent, right?
Yeah,
men can kill women. Women have a fear that men might kill them at any moment. I hear that. I hear that, women, lay listeners. But with that, I think that's a philosophical fear. I don't think they have a realistic fear of being punched up in the face on a daily basis. Men have that.
Do you think it's daytime, daylight thing?
We just see something happen and go, "Do I want to get tucked in?
Yeah.
Am I ready to fight this guy for this?"
And imagine, you might get tucked in front of your kid as well.
That's why
women are very quick
to recover that as well.
In someone's face, tell them, "No, you're rude, you're out of order." Men are just like, "Do I want this?"
Yeah, brother, I've literally seen my mum beef people, and we've got back in the car, and they'll be like, "What are you doing?" do you think I'm backing that?
This is South London.
If that kicks off, do you think I'm backing it? Because you wanted to gunfinger man in Morrison's.
You know what?
Do you think I'm backing that? And you know what? Because the thing is, if they touch you, obviously man's backing that, but when we get back in this car, we're having a different discussion.
I'm backing this with very superficial vim.
I'm backing this because the very moment I actually need to. When I see this, I might need to hear this. Yeah? Because this could be a high five.
Yeah.
You never know.
Because, it's true. Because I can't.
You can stop it by doing a high five.
Yeah.
I can't end up
online. Okay.
Because, I can't end up. Someone's filmed this online and the video is this: woman mouths off to man, and then son or husband punches man. It's like, that's basically what would have happened.
If
I don't really know there's a full threat of violence coming towards you. Yeah, because guys, I just think like sometimes we see something like that, we go, like you said, if you just did that to a child, the child he's with and stuff, this guy's clearly unhinged.
That he's a madman.
It's just like, I feel bad for the kids, program. But it's already happened.
You just go over to the kid whilst they're on the floor. You make sure he's not looking. You go, "Psst, ask for Angela," and then walk off.
You are a crazy guy.
And then walk off.
Yeah,
he's
a crazy guy.
Is that not for everyone? Is that not for everyone? I thought it was for everyone.
He's like, I didn't really read the post too much. I just saw. Nah, right, but no.
I thought it was.
I was saying it's just a joke. I was saying no. I think there is.
Cancelled! I'm not scared no more.
That's crazy.
Let's go, boy.
There is a parental part of me, though, I guess.
It's just a joke.
Watching a kid.
Big black cock!
That video is mad. Because it would have been a why, innit?
That would have been a mad why, innit?
Everyone's moved on. Everyone's moved on in that video. He's
he can't believe it. He's like,
his podcast, have you seen other clips of his podcast?
He's like, spray. I've seen one where he had
One in there.
I've seen one where he had M.R. and that woman.
No, there's hundreds of clips. He's done one in there.
Oh,
and he's going to this girl. He's basically subliminally calling her fat.
Oh, wow. Mad guy.
But anyway, yeah, I'm not afraid of the cancellation. It's just a joke. Get over it.
Yeah, but I feel like I have to check he's all right. I suppose the kid.
Oh, no,
I've got to check he's all right. But if my man goes fuck off, I'm like, all right.
It's literally that Kevin Hart joke, isn't it? Well, if he kicked you in the face, I know he's like gaining respect for my.
Yeah, yo, I'm gonna say you have to fight my man.
If we both got black eyes, who gonna drive who home?
My first priority has to be my kids in the park. So I'm like, are they safe?
Yeah, yeah.
Does me going over to endanger me? It does.
Listen, so, you just gotta tell that young fighter, you gotta protect yourself at all times. You learned a lesson today.
And he responds,
you'll be back. You'll be back. You know what my.
That's his response to you.
Do you know what my response to these kind of things are? Always. It's one of the final scenes in Paid in Full. Hey, niggas get shot every day, B. You tough, right? Get your man a thermometer.
Well, my man is drooling on the concrete.
He's 12. He's not gangster. He's not in these streets.
You tough, right?
He's 12.
You tough, right? Power dropped every day.
He's gone to the park. He's gone to the park with his uncle.
And he literally got trucked.
At least this uncle ain't touching you.
Oh, he did. That was the problem. He touched him.
Yeah, would you rather him touch your neck or your?
I was thinking, right? Easy.
Yeah. That is flagrant. That is flagrant.
Andrew Schultz, call me.
But no, that's a mad thing. That seeing a man do that to his own flesh and blood is.
Have you seen Game of Thrones? They pushed a kid off the balcony.
But at least that's fictional, man. This one is
real life.
Oh yeah, because this was an honor thing. It wasn't like because the kid was weak.
That is just being an irritant.
Yeah.
So I just said, you know what?
You learn a lesson, bro. Like,
that guy's got to learn just to
protect
say...
Protect your neck, Wu-Tang.
The guy's got to learn to say fuck off under his breath like all of us parents do to our kids.
Yeah, anger man, you got to have anger control, man.
Big man Tinga, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
I probably would have been like this.
Yeah, you're in shock horror, but then I think as adults, we've got a duty of care, safeguarding of these kids, even if they're not our own. You want to make sure you're safe, your child's safe, but you got to check on that child.
I know what to do.
You got to do something.
What's that?
Do you remember episodes ago when we spoke similar incident? It wasn't necessarily, it was about a kid and a parent.
Yeah.
And we said, you confront and in worst case scenario, you shit yourself.
Oh, yes, I do remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Just call it back to that episode.
But
you shit on command.
But you got to remember... The kid is already broken on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
So you'd have to
thank you.
You'd have to shat yourself for no reason.
Yeah, because the damage is done. You just want
to make sure. You have to say, the damage is done, so I guess I'll be leaving.
No, that's cold.
Oh, I got an icebox where my heart used to be.
I'm actually singing.
I got a neck brace where my spine used to be.
I'm paralyzed. I'm paralyzed. I'm paralyzed. I'm paralyzed.
Hey, man. Hey.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, man. We've been podding.
I'm going our way.
We've been podding, and we have to cease this pod.
Everything that has been said here is for entertainment purposes only.
Hey, man. We don't need to let anybody get injured, man. Safeguard them kids.
I'm paralyzed.
Hey, man. Look after your necks. It's crazy out there.
Dang.
There are trucks.
Break your fucking neck, boy!
My neck.
My back.
All my vertebrae are cracked.
fucking Deary.
Wait,
what? I'm out of
this. Do time, dude, around that shit. I just like to have it like that because my back is fucked up, boy.
Oh, Darren Griffiths. Oh, damn.